Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We are studying the book of Revelation, which I've entitled The Unveiling. In today's session, we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22, the church that becomes worldly. Well, welcome to the church of the 21st century. The church at Philadelphia continues, and the church at Laodicea has begun. Both will coexist up to the rapture. What does Laodicea represent? No commitment, no dependence. First of all, there's no commitment in the church today. Look at verses 14 to verse 16 of chapter 3. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Listen, everyone has needs in life. The issue is how they're handled. Hot, needs are taken to the Lord. Cold, needs are taken to the world. Lukewarm is when you have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Why does Jesus dislike lukewarm believers? Oh, they're distasteful. They're nauseating. Now, there's hot mineral springs outside the city of Laodicea, and they're hot. They were hot. Just the way I like my coffee. That first sip of coffee, I drink my coffee black without anything in it. That first sip of coffee needs to scorch my tongue. Now, by the time I'm done drinking it, it may be cold. And, well, that's not the way I prefer it, but that's okay. But boy, in between, if it's lukewarm and I take a sip of it, oh man, that is just nasty stuff. And I can understand. Jesus, I want to spit that out of my mouth. Listen, lukewarm Christians make Jesus sick. They're useless for ministry with no witness for Jesus Christ. This is judged very severely by the faithful and true witness. The call is to repentance or discipline. Verse 19. So, first of all, there's no commitment in the church today. And second, there's no dependence in the church today. Look at verses 17 to 19. "Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have no need of nothing, and do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." See, outwardly this church appeared strong. The problem was that it deceived itself. I'm rich, become wealthy, and have no need of nothing. Self-effort was the word for these believers. Dependence on their own ability, their own pride. The Lord Jesus Christ presented himself as the beginning of the creation of God. His priority in all of creation. Colossians chapter 1 verse 17 says, "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." Everything depends on him. The believers at Laodicea were in spiritual darkness, and they didn't even realize it. Ignorance to an incredible degree. Laodicea was a banking city. It was a clothing production center. And it was a medicine-making community, particularly a special eye salve. And so, what did Jesus offer them? That which money couldn't buy. Eternal riches versus earthly reward. Covering of sin versus covering of skin. And spiritual wisdom versus fleshly ignorance. And you know what? It's all free. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2. Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Confidence, listen. Confidence should be based on a relationship with Jesus Christ, not on intense emotions, not on incessant words, not on increased activities, not on indulgent activities. So again, the call is to repentance or discipline. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. The unchanging standard for life is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a white lamb set in contrast against green grass. It looks so pure and clean. But you take that same white lamb and you put it against white snow and it's going to look dingy. Why did God establish the church anyway? Why did He do that? Well, He built the church to spread the gospel message to the lost. In total church life, the seminar on recreating your church ministry with everything being focused on evangelism, either directly or indirectly. In total church life, it's laid out that the purpose of the church is threefold. And this is totally biblical and scriptural. Number one is to exalt the Savior. We worship God. We exalt Him. We seek to engage Him in worship. We equip the saint. We train and teach those who are to do the ministry for Jesus Christ. And we evangelize the sinner. We go and we engage those who are lost and call them into the kingdom. Revelation 3:20 is a very sad picture. And why? Well, look at it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. When you look at that, we can see a twofold portrait. We can see Jesus knocking at the sinner's heart. But we can also see Jesus knocking on the church's door. How could this happen? Well, the sinner with the sin nature inherited from Adam. This picture is the reason for evangelism. But the church in its current state with carnal Christians, this picture is the need for revival. The Lord seeking entrance to His own church. Is it possible for Jesus to be locked out of the church? Yeah. Yes. Because of a present day mentality. We want what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. Complacency. No longer seeking God's guidance. no longer seeing need to change. And yet, many are without salvation. Remember back in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band." Jesus was in the middle of the candlesticks. In chapter 1, now at the end of chapter 3, he's outside the door of the church. He was knocking on the door of the church at Laodicea. But he will dine with individuals. Have you ever seen that painting of Jesus knocking on a door? If you observe it carefully, you'll notice something. There's no doorknob on the outside. He will not force himself. He must be received. Jesus is never an intruder where he's not wanted. Luke chapter 24, verses 28 and 29. On that road to Emmaus with those two disciples, then they drew near to the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. You see, some respond, "Well, if I reach heaven, that's good enough for me." Let me ask you, do you want trophies or crowns to cast at Jesus' feet? Are you concerned for the lost? Are you concerned enough to do something? Look at the promise of verses 21 and 22. "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit down, to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." On what authority does he tell us we will sit with him on his throne? He sat down with his Father on his throne. Here's the authority. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." And Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen? There's the authority that Jesus has to tell us that we'll be with him. You have a great day.